Church, and welcome tonight. And thanks for coming tonight and not staying home and watching the Olympics. And for those who stayed home and watched the Olympics or otherwise were busy and are watching online, welcome. Lately, we've been presenting a sermon series on the spiritual disciplines. And I encourage you to view the ones that came before mine on the church website or on YouTube. Tonight, we will look at the spiritual discipline of simplicity. Amidst the world consumed by the pursuit of wealth and happiness, the Bible invites us to live simply and with a focus on God. So this sermon will explore some biblical teachings on simplicity, drawing inspiration from the examples of the Bible. But first, we will look at some contemporary scenarios. Do you, like me, struggle with the constant upkeep of a home filled with equipment and possessions? Saturday rolls around and I officially have the day off. I can do whatever I like, right? But instead of lazing around on the sofa bed, I have to deal with all the things around my home that suddenly need urgent attention. On a particularly hectic day, I found myself overwhelmed by the endless demands of this modern life. As I rushed around, trying to fix leaky taps, keeping up with the car and garden maintenance, the gutters to clean, the lawns to mow, the weeds to pull, contracts to sign, notifications on my phone, registration, insurance, power and water, and other bills to pay, well, I couldn't help but feel like I was drowning in a sea of obligation and responsibility. And I asked myself on that day, did I really own all this stuff, or did this stuff own me? That Christmas, my son gave me a special present. As I tore open the packaging, I couldn't believe my eyes. It was not just a simple bedside clock that I'd suggested he buy me. It was also a digital assistant. This was a device promising to automate my daily tasks and make my life so much easier. According to the packaging, all I had to do was call out, "Hey Google," and it would respond like some kind of genie. So I couldn't wait to get this thing home and start to work on programming it, putting in the things I wanted the assistant to take care of. Initially, I envisaged a future where I could finally enjoy some free time. However, as I struggled to decipher the instruction manual, I realised that this gadget, in order for it to do the things that it promised there, will also mean me purchasing a ton of other gadgets that would all network with it, and that I would then have to control. So as I stared at the half-programmed contraption on the coffee table, I couldn't help but laugh at the absurdity of it all. The thing that was supposed to simplify my life seemed like it was about to complicate it. In my daily devotion that morning, I had read that true peace and contentment come from a simple focus on God, an attitude of gratitude, and meaningful connections with others. As I recalled and reflected on this, I decided I should try to simplify my life, asking God to help me to let go of unnecessary clutter and to embrace the things that truly mattered. So as I watched the sun setting from my patio that evening, I couldn't help but feel grateful for the simple joys of life. A reminder that sometimes less really is more. And in the less, you may even find God, or better still, you could begin with God. Either way, that has got to be better than the burnout that so many people experience these days. In his book, The Modern Madness, psychotherapist Douglas Labeer describes a social disease. This affects many people. He noticed that many successful professionals were coming to him feeling completely burnt out and empty. This showed him how dangerous our obsession with material things can be. Chasing money, things, and respect can lead to major stress and breakdowns. Labeer found that when people focus too much on money, status, and success, they often miss out on personal fulfillment and a meaningful life. In fact, this led to 60% of his study group and this included several hundred people, dealing with depression, anxiety, and other work-related issues, especially constant stress. All of the unnecessary hassle could be avoided by following the biblical advice to simplify life and to focus on what God wants from us. Although the Bible does not use specific terms like simplicity, it talks a lot about the discipline of simplicity, and Jesus Christ's life is a perfect example how he lived his life. Many other spiritual leaders in the Bible emphasize how important simplicity is. After all, it should be a natural consequence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when the good news of the gospel becomes part of our lives. So what is simplicity? A definition. The inward reality of a single-hearted focus upon God and his kingdom, which results in an outward lifestyle of modesty, openness and unpretentiousness, and which disciplines our hunger for status, glamour and luxury. It's a bit to get your head around, isn't it? But that's what we're here for tonight. What really matters in this life? What should we focus on? Here's a little story I like to call the nugget of truth. A young researcher was exploring a remote mountain range collecting songs and stories. He kept hearing about this old farmer up in the hills who seemed extremely knowledgeable in that area. So determined to learn more, the researcher climbed high into the hills to visit the farmer's simple home. When he arrived, the farmer welcomed him warmly, and he began to sing ballad after ballad and tell story after story, just what the guy wanted. Sometimes neighbours would drop by, especially children. They would stop to listen to the farmer's enchanting stories. As the evening wore on, the researcher noticed a shiny gold rock on the front porch where they'd been sitting. It was the biggest piece of gold he'd ever seen. The farmer saw him staring at it. After he finished his last song, he said to this researcher, "You can take that home, son, if you want it." Well, the researcher was stunned. But after making sure the farmer was serious about this, he took the gold rock back to the town where he was staying. Well, that night he couldn't sleep, could he? He was tossing and turning. He couldn't stop thinking at first about all the things he could do with all that gold once he got home. He could pay off his study bills. He could get that wreck of his car traded in on something decent, like a Toyota. He could publish his paper as a book and make millions. He would be envy of all of his friends. He could invite all of his friends over to a dinner. But then he also started wondering, probably about 3 a.m., what was this farmer thinking, giving me this rock? What was going on inside of him? And by dawn, he decided the only thing he could really do was take the rock back to the farmer. When he arrived, the farmer was already awake and the researcher handed the gold rock back to him. The farmer seemed very surprised and he asked, "I thought you wanted this rock." The researcher looked at him and said, "Not anymore. Instead, what I want to know is what you know that made it so easy to give this away." Let's turn now to some Bible stories that tell us something about the discipline of simplicity. So the first one I've got is in Genesis 13, 1-18, story about Abraham. Back in the day, he was called Abram, and he and his nephew Lot were wandering herdsmen, and they had become quite wealthy. They supervised men looking after sheep, cattle, and goats. And as they journeyed together from Egypt up to the Negev, it became clear that the land could not support both of their households. Their shepherds were starting to argue amongst each other and tension was breaking out. Abraham was seeking peace. So he said to Lot, "Let's come up to this hill here and look around and let's separate. You take the land on the left if that's what you want, or you take the land on the right. If you go one way, I'll go the other." Well, Lot looked around And he chose the fertile plain of the Jordan, which was well watered and lush. It was reminiscent of the Garden of Eden and the floodplains of Egypt. So Lot moved his tents near the city of Sodom, despite its reputation for wickedness. Abraham, on the other hand, settled in the land of Canaan. Now, after Lot departed, the Lord spoke to Abraham and promised him all the land that he could see, in every direction, and vowing to make his descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth. Following the Lord's command, Abraham moved his tent to the great tree of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. This act of worship and obedience marked a new chapter in Abraham's journey as he embraced the promise of a vast inheritance and a multitude of descendants. The separation he had from Lot, while difficult and painful, allowed Abraham to fully step into the destiny that God had for him. So now we'll turn to Jesus' teaching on wealth and singleness of vision, which can be found in Matthew 6, 19 to 24. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke about the eye being the lamp of the body. He explained that if the eye is single, the whole body will be full of light. Conversely, if the eye is unhealthy, the body will be full of darkness. But notice, he uses an unusual word there. He did not use the expected word for healthy. Now, I've discovered most of the modern translations gloss over this, but the King James doesn't, and I've got another version up there, as you can see. Yeah, anyway, the Greek word used here is haplos, meaning singleness, simplicity, frankness, as opposed to diplos, which, of course, you know, in English we use the word duplicity, meaning double or twofold. This concept of singleness of eye as a virtue is also found in other Greek documents from Jesus' time, indicating sincerity, simplicity, and freedom from envy for money. One such document reads, "I never slandered anyone, nor did I censure the life of any man, walking as I did in singleness of eye. The single-minded man coveteth not gold, and there is no envy in his thoughts, nor does he worry about an insatiable desire in his mind. For he walks in singleness and beholds all things in uprightness of heart. Keep, therefore, my children, the law of God, and attain singleness." So here, singleness of eye means sincerity, simplicity, and freedom from envy for money. This metaphor illustrates that anyone's perspective and focus can be either illuminating their life with goodness or plunging them into darkness. This is a call to maintain a clear and generous vision, aligning one's inner life with the divine light. We'll turn now to Philippians 4, 10 to 13, where Paul talks about contentment. Consider Paul's words about contentment, recognizing that true satisfaction comes from Christ alone. Paul was writing from prison, expressing his deep gratitude to the Philippians for their renewed concern and support. He acknowledged their generosity, but he clarified that his joy wasn't rooted in the material help that they had provided. Instead, Paul shared a profound lesson that he had learnt: to be content in all circumstances. Where he faced abundance or scarcity, he had discovered the secret of contentment through faith in Christ. Paul's life was a testament to this unwavering contentment. He had experienced both the highs of plenty and the lows of need. Yet his inner peace remained unshaken. This strength, he explained, came from Christ, who empowered him to endure all situations. Paul's message was clear. True contentment and strength came not from external conditions, but from a deep, abiding relationship with Christ. Through his words, Paul encouraged the Philippians to find their contentment in Christ, regardless of how their circumstances panned out. His example serves as a powerful reminder that faith can provide the strength to face any challenge. and that true wealth lies in spiritual fulfillment rather than mental material abundance. Living with spiritual simplicity means living a life with God, hidden in Christ. It gathers in many other disciplines that we have, and it's like wearing a seamless robe. It's all about unity. And that's what makes simplicity complex. Now, it's no shocker that Christian teachings on simplicity are full of paradoxes. Jesus often spoke in paradoxes, and we've examined some of those in our sermons. For instance, to find our life, we must lose it. In giving, we receive. These paradoxes aren't real contradictions. They're just different ways to look at things by balancing two opposite teachings. We need to see simplicity as part of the bigger picture. For instance, simplicity and prayer are closely linked, especially the trust aspect of prayer. Without trust, living on daily prayer would be impossible. We'd always be feeling like we needed to have a backup plan. And what we have would never feel like it was really enough. Simplicity of heart thrives in the soil of trust, and it's the Old Testament's revelation of God's faithfulness, such as Abraham experienced, that helps us build that trust. So how do we apply these ideas? Let's consider the insights gained from this sermon on simplicity and detachment. What are the practical steps you feel God is leading you to take? How can you simplify your life and align your priorities with God's kingdom values? So in the first story, we talked about harmony. Notice from this story that Abraham was willing to prioritize peace and harmony in his family over material gain. Consider how God provided for Abraham's needs and how trusting in God's provision can free us from the pursuit of worldly wealth. And then there's focus. So let us reflect on Jesus' words about having a clear and focused heart, dedicated to God's will. At our best, we simplify not just to be less busy, but to clear away distractions from our pursuit of Christ. We cut out activities from our lives not just to get organized, but so our devotion to Christ and service for his kingdom can be more fruitful. And we simplify not just to save time, but to remove anything that hinders the time that we spend getting to know Christ. Every reason that we simplify should help us focus on Jesus Christ. And when we get this, we see that just like our physical eyes can only see clearly if they're focused on one thing, our spiritual vision needs to be the same. Single is the key word here. Spiritually, it means having a single-minded devotion. The ability to focus sharply on spiritual things. Lastly, we have contentment. Reflecting on times when you, like Paul, have experienced contentment regardless of your material circumstances. Have you thought about that? Perhaps you were out camping and realized that you were enjoying making do with quite basic equipment. Pray for the grace to cultivate contentment and gratitude in all aspects of your life. Pray for the courage and strength to embrace a life of simplicity and contentment, trusting in God's provision and finding true treasure in Him alone. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the invitation to embrace simplicity. May we carry with us the insights gained from our study tonight on this discipline. Help us to embrace these principles, keeping the eye of our mind focused on you. Fill us with your light and love, Lord. Help us trust in your provision and find true treasure in you alone. May our lives be a testimony to the richness of your love and the joy found in living with open hands and hearts. May we be ready to receive and to give to others. May your grace and strength enable us to walk this journey of simplicity and detachment, guided by your wisdom and sustained by your unfailing love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.